Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So today, that's from Romans 12. That's before what you see on the slide here. This is the heart of what's going on. I want to invite you today into a conversation. We've just completed a study of Acts, and the Acts of the disciples continue on even today. We believe that. We believe that you and I are called to be disciples that make disciples, and that these disciples would carry this good news, this gospel, to the entire world, beginning with our own homes, in our communities, in our counties, in our states, in our countries, and in the world, right? And so in that, it's going to take all of us together. And we feel there needs to be a correction made because we feel like maybe we've gotten a little lazy or a little insecure. And so many of us feel like we have very little to offer this thing they call the body of Christ. And so we've embarked on a journey to say, okay, Lord, teach us what this means. Because the scripture is really clear. We're not all good at the same things, right? Some of us are extremely talented at so many things. And so what we did is read and took advantage of information other people had studied too. And the results is this. You see here, and on both sides of the stage, I have large post-it notes here. And we have different scriptures that talk about these gifts of the Spirit. One being Romans 12. And then two sections in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and then finally the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. So what this discussion is about is we're finding a starting place. The difficulty is anytime you take a questionnaire or survey, might be the best word for that, you're in danger of limiting yourself. This is who I am. I'm never going to change. I can never operate outside of these windows. But this is not how this works with God. So without belaboring this point, today we're gonna deal with two more of these motivational gifts. And I've invited two people who I've observed demonstrate these gifts, who have been part of discussions about these gifts, praying about their motivational gifts and understanding their place in the body of Christ and how they might be able to share from their experience, right? And it's only one person's experience. Understand, just because you have this motivational gift, and that's the whole point, just because you have one motivational gift, that doesn't mean there's a specific way in which you can minister to others. There's an unlimited number of ways in which you can minister to others through your gift, okay? Last week, we did probably the hairiest one of all, which is prophet. And I know, and it's difficult to talk about. And actually, it's a lot easier not to talk about this, to be honest with you. For me, it's a whole lot easier because there's so much mystery involved. But understand, Romans 12 outlines 7, which we know is a complete number when they mention this. These are 7 attributes of our God. And each one of us, as an individual created in the image of God, we might have a primary motivation. And from that primary motivation, if I could speak clearly, we'll be a part of the body of Christ. And from that place, there's only growth from there. Do you understand? You can shut it off and just be stuck in your ways, but there's only growth from there. And where the growth happens is the way in which the Holy Spirit uses you, right, as he wills through manifestation of gifts. And that's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, okay? The other way is then he will call you into ministries, into 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31, and then it says in Ephesians 4 that Christ gave to the church these offices, right? And then those believers who are walking in the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit lead, fruit of the Spirit, things of the Spirit will show up in your life and come out of you. You see, there's a line in which each one of these are different. And let me read this from you. I'll continue on in Romans 12, and this is where this slide picks up. Let me start with verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to what? According to how awesome you are? No, according to how awesome God is, right? His grace created you, gifts you, and leads you all of your days. Having gifts that differ to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our servicing, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And then I think it's interesting, guys. We've got to keep this. Do you know where it goes to right after this in verse 9? In the ESV, it says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Why bring that up? Guys, I think we've got to put a lid on all this to understand the highest and the best thing that we can do is love. And not in the tolerant American way of doing that, but to genuinely love. And sometimes being loved is being told things that are difficult to hear. And so, guys, we finished Acts. And so I'm inviting you into this conversation. Understand, this is a starting point. I know, I talked to some people. I don't like to look at that because it's limiting. Well, you're not getting it then. This is where freedom begins, when you begin to understand that you have a place, a purpose, and a value in the kingdom of God because you are the body of Christ, if you're his. And I need you guys more than anything. What I don't need is for Ross and the worship team just to get more awesome and for me to get more information and to get more props and more money. This is not the way the kingdom of God works. It's you. It's all of us together that we would be the body of Christ. And until we do that, guys, we're just going to keep playing. I don't want to do that. So till they fire me, I'll just keep reminding you of that, okay? Right? Until I'll keep reminding you of that. And so, hey, I want to invite you, Josh and Jackie, would you guys come on up? Do you guys know Josh and Jackie? In case you were confused, the pretty ones, Jackie. So then, yeah. Josh, Jackie, everyone, Josh and Jackie. So, like I said, what I've asked them to do is come be part of a conversation. Because what I would love for you to see is how God is teaching them about how he's created them, how he's put them together, and how that's actually not only like how they're created, but he's calling them into doing something with this and being a part of it. Josh and Jackie, since, man, we've known each other like 6.5 years now. And they have, you know, been part of prayer ministry, led the Rock Climbers children's ministry, been part of the youth leadership. Josh has taught, still teaches, leads the men's ministry. Sound, right? These two, even though God's made them with a particular set of gift from that, they've each grown and learned, and they've blessed our church family for that, okay? And understand, I'm not telling you all these things so at the end there's a sign-up sheet for going into children's ministry. That's not what this is about. I want you to seek God's will, because if he gifted you based on his grace, it's only through his grace that he'll continue to gift you in ministry and in manifestation of gifts. Okay, awesome. Hey, and then also, there's a scripture here. Let me point this out. 1 Corinthians 12:4. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So everything that we talk about is not something that they have done or achieved or you need to grow into doing. Everything that we're talking about here is empowered by God. And in order for you to serve him, no matter what it is, we should be seeking him, his will, and his power to lead us and guide us. Does that sound right? Okay. So let's start here. I want to start with giver. The giver, this is one version, it calls it the giver. Let me give you a few more. So what we're pulling this from Romans 12, right? So the King James Version says this, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. The one who contributes in generosity is what ESV says. NASB says, he who gives with liberality. ISV says, if it is sharing, share generously. So really we see these different versions here, and in this, we've kind of get an idea of what they're talking about. So that person who's been given the spiritual gift of giver, he's saying, let them do it in simplicity. The one who's been given the gift to contribute in generosity, to the one who gives in liberality. If it is sharing, share generously. So where does your mind go with that? What do you think being a giver is about? It's not rhetorical, actually. You guys speak up. Come on, man. It'll get boring if we don't talk. Thinking of others, yeah. But you think about this, right? Monetary. So, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not a giver because I don't give a lot of money. Is that what you? Giver of their time. Yeah, and that's what I like about some of the different, if they're sharing. What I've observed is someone who's a giver is willing to share, right? And so we want to talk about that. So Josh is someone that I know that demonstrates this gift, the gift of giver. And so we talked about it a few times. We got together this week. And so just a couple things. These are generalities that might help us understand, okay, this is what we normally see in the personality of someone who's operating in this gift. And I want to just ask you, Josh, a little bit about this, okay? So generous is the first thing. Yes, they're generous. But here's what we learn when you begin to talk with people. They're generous when they see value, not just financially, but also with information and all the resources at their disposal. What do you think about that, Josh?
Yeah, I definitely see value in things and then want to be involved with that, but I see value in the people too. And that lights things up where I want to give in those areas.
Yeah. Has anyone been in Bible study with Josh where he's teaching? Okay, does he come with like nothing ever? Does he ever give you any resources or charts?
Never.
No. If you go with Josh, man, you'll get like a chart like this. He finds amazing things and he has to share it because it has value. Right? This is him. It's not just, will he contribute financially? Sure, if he sees that. But he's generous with more than that. The Super Bowl thing, he kind of started this. Because he goes, let's do fellowship. I want to be generous with my time, with my resources, with people. Let's get together. But I think it's interesting when I look at that and I see him operating in his gift, and it's not just a tithe book, right? Which I appreciate if he writes a check. It helps us do ministry, for sure. But what's probably more awesome is, you know, for instance, I had a part go out of my truck. Josh was like, I have one of those to a Toyota truck. Came to his house, totally shared it with me, totally shared with me how to put it in. I got down there with my office hands, right, and got the wrench, and I replaced it. And we've done that a few times now. He just shared the information he had because it was willing, and it was a tremendous ministry to me, and it has been to a lot of you. And like, you know, he'll come, and even if I'm not in the class, well, look what I found. We're studying through Genesis. Look at this. Awesome information. I just want to share it because it has value. And so I see him operating in that. So important, guys. So much more than a financial contribution. Resourceful. Those who study people operating in this gift, they'll see that options are super important to them. They can see options where others don't see options. What about that options, Josh? What would you say about that?
Oh, I definitely like the options.
Yeah.
I like looking for the options. I like the hunt of finding those and pursuing the best one, whatever God's leading towards. But I still want to see him. I know God's got his one thing that he's after, but I don't know. He gives me the ability to search through the options and find what's best for me, for those that I'm working with, whatever program that we're doing. Also can be kind of a problem because I'll take too much time looking over the options.
Right.
And so... Yeah. Might look like indecisiveness or something, but I'm just looking for what God's given in that.
So this is just an example, but what are some of the ways in which this has been used for the body of Christ to build up the body that you've seen already? I'm kind of putting you on the spot with that, but yeah.
Well, you talked about things like with the Super Bowl party and some of the programs that we've put together. We don't have a lot of budget here to work on that stuff. So I'm looking for every option that we can to do absolutely the best, finest quality thing that we could do with the least amount of input and money. And I've definitely been able to use that to my advantage.
He's used that. I mean, you don't see that behind the scenes, but even some of this wood that's going into making this backdrop. Josh just happens, it's interesting, if you know Josh, okay, in a way that he serves a lot our church body that you don't realize is he'll say, I was talking to somebody, and they had all this extra wood. I know we're going to build the stage. options. Could you use it?
How about
on the raffle stuff? The youth camp last year. I mean, geez. Took 30 people to youth, plus to youth camp.
The brick wall.
So, guys, and I'm not trying to glorify that, but what it is some people might see that. You might be an options person. You might be gifted in this way, and you think, I don't know. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet and let the loudmouths talk, right? Right? No, we need the body. And so that's the point of this. Okay, what about community? Seeing value in community, bringing people together with different perspectives and resources to get them together in harmony.
Oh, yeah. How about that? I'm so big on the fellowship thing. I love to see us get together and be a community for Christ, because of what you're talking about, we're all bringing these different gifts.
Right.
To be able to come together and put them together, because God is all of these gifts,
it's all of those.
And in 100%. So if
if
God is all of that and we each bring a portion to it, then we can grow closer to God as a community because of that. So community becomes super valuable. I don't know much about what's going on with the football game, but if we all get to hang around and eat burgers and ribs,
right,
you know, that's community to me. So.
Yeah. When we talked, you brought up a pretty big word about when someone's operating in this gift, using the fact that they want to be intentional and effective with resources, whether it's human resources or financial resources. So like stewardship was a big word, right?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay. God blesses us in so many different ways, but he also asks us to be good managers of that, and so that's always kind of forefront of my mind.
Right. And I think that's a great check to have those people in the body. I think it's a great check because not only do they on the front end provide options, but I think sometimes they cut off options because they begin to show you when you're meeting with them and trying to pray and make decisions, they see things where it's like, that doesn't seem like a good option. There's other options out here, right? Is this helpful at all, trying to gauge your faith? Because some of you might not see that you have this and that God wants you to use it, okay? And if that can awaken even one person in order to so they can discern what God's calling them to do and be in the body of Christ, it's worth the time, okay? Now, what about blind spots? So you mentioned that a little bit. I think the blind spots, I don't want to say weaknesses because here's the other part. When you have this gift, in order to use it as God wants you to, there's a surrender that happens, right? There's a surrender of your will to his will. Just because you can see it, just because you understand it, just because you feel compelled to do it, because you're gifted that way, there has to be that pause that comes where we submit ourselves to God and we follow him, right? So blind spots, they may delay decisions until all options are understood.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right, right?
My idea of a great vacation would be just, hey, let's just jump in the car. We're going to go that way.
Okay.
Until we find a hotel and we'll just pull up to it and
let's go. Options open, right?
Yeah. So sometimes I won't make a decision. And so in going through this over the last year, learning a little bit more about the giver gift, it's okay to make a plan.
Right.
It's okay to book something in advance and go have fun with
right.
it. And so we've had a lot of conversations about, all right, let's be better at planning because that fulfills something more
right.
for her.
So can you see how these personal things that will show up might help you point yourself to that, right? And it might look a little different for every giver, but that's a lot of the research where people have studied. And that's from a psychology standpoint, I understand, okay? But let's be honest, when we study people, sometimes there's patterns. And we see that. And what they're saying is, you even give a giver some kind of questionnaire like this, they're almost the last ones to find out who they are because they don't want to be limited by their options, right?
I sat there for 2 days and prayed about it before I read the next page on what right? was going to be the answer.
Now, but that's great, right? So at some point, you know, in community, our gifts working together, there's the prophet who, right? The prophet has to be bold because it's part of what God's asked them to do. And then you have the giver who might hold back a little bit. The prophet's like, okay, if I sense God's asking me to do this, my gift is to go do it. And the giver to say, okay, wait a second. What about options, Lord? What is it that you want us to do? So I think that's fascinating to see how the marrying of the two. What about this? Maybe misunderstood because they don't want to be boxed in and weigh options. You kind of mentioned that, people, like non-committal. Like, why are you wish-washy and...
Yeah, I mean, just because I like to see the options doesn't mean that I might not pick one. So that there is some truth to that, but then there's moments where I can see all the options clearly. There's one that stands out, and it's just jump on that and go and drop the rest.
Right.
And so there's less emotion in that and just instant decision. So I can make some quick decisions on that when that one option stands out.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, too, is like you can, another thing that we notice is like in the body of Christ, you can be so fixated because value and stewardship are important on money and things that it can, in a community, it can sort of break hearts when people are doing things that you see are foolish stewardship-wise. So
yeah,
if you're in that, so if you're in that gift, you almost have to ask God for his grace in that. That way it's like they might not see the value, the stewardship, and the intentionality that I see. So what about, okay, so based on that question, yeah. Right? People's value. Okay. People have, so he's saying, pointed out that what Josh was saying is people, although there is human resources, people are resources, they're more than that. They have value. Yeah. Any questions about that? Anything else about the giver before? Okay. Yeah.
I've been watching Jackie.
Okay, well, he's been watching Jackie. Okay. Right.
But I'm curious to hear how Jackie fits into this plan. Because as a husband and wife, I think it's important too that continuity,
For sure.
I've just been watching her expressions.
Right. So Randy asked, because you guys can't, not everyone can hear that, he's saying it's interesting, the dynamic of having a husband and wife with different gifts. And maybe some of these strengths, but also some of these blind spots that a giver would have in their strength. How does that affect the spouse? Maybe how does she navigate that or how does she see it? Kind of feedback from her, right?
Yeah. I guess when it comes to the planning thing, oh my goodness. I'm definitely a planner. And so for with him, and I appreciate, you know, his options. He wants to, you know, evaluate everything and all that good stuff. But days later, just wanting to go somewhere takes forever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's worth it. I mean, it really is because, you know, the trip turns out fabulous and everything like that, but let's get there.
Right. Yeah.
What is your gift?
We'll get to that. Yeah. Did you have something or did that go?
Is it hard buying, like, a new washer and dryer?
Is it hard buying a washer and dryer, like, items like that?
Okay, when it comes to cars, that's a whole different subject. Washer and dryers are a little quicker.
Right. Yeah, the car is a different situation because of the context of your life, right? That might not have anything to do with the gift.
They say one of the things with the giver is that you have favorability in the marketplace. And you can be able to find that good deal or negotiate something. So when that good deal pops up and it's the right time, it's easy to jump on those kind of options because I know that's a fleeting deal. If I don't get on it, I lose it.
With a need item?
Right. Well, we actually did that last year. And so we knew it wasn't, our washer wasn't working anymore, so we dealt with that for a day or two and just kept our eyes out what's on the market, what's available. And yeah, but as soon as the right one came up, it was an easy, let's go get this right
so
now.
So that's what he asked, like if the need is immediate and you can't take as much time to make the decision, what do you do? And I think you still take a little time and you know. So I mean, I think if you kind of look at that too, I also wanted you to meet Josh. So if some of this is ringing true, we give you the personality stuff so that you can try to understand the gift stuff. It might be another way into this. Yeah, Ann.
I'm just curious, how do you feel when you make a mistake?
Yeah. How do you feel when you make a mistake, Josh? Is a question.
Well, I got a little perfectionist streak too, so. Yeah, I can.
You weigh out the options, and then you make a choice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm experienced with that. I'm experienced with the mistakes.
So. What happens if you make the wrong choice when you've weighed it out, you've weighed the options?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I would take longer. It depends on what it is. Because I got a lot of failed projects that I do, but workarounds are pretty easy because I can see the options.
Right.
So that'll end up being very different than what was planned if I had a plan.
Yeah. No, so I think, you know, and that for me, okay, beyond motivational gift, now we can begin talking about ministries and stuff that you're involved with too. So I see that. And for me as the pastor, let me just sort of, we can get back to more discussion on that, but we'll go on to mercy next. But just to sort of put a circle around this thing, I see that. You understand why the giver is so important, because on the front end, those people who are generous and who give, right, financially of their time and of ideas and love and energy and all these things that you can operate with that you invest, those people who are generous with that is so helpful to a body of believers. We need that. We need that to operate. The context of your body of believers, the needs could have a different mix. Does that make sense? If you're a home church or you have a 5,000-person church, your needs might be different, right? However, we need. And so have the givers on the front end who see that value and who contribute to that is so important for us. And on the other end, then having those givers who God has gifted with eyes and ears to hear and see value, intentionality, community, and stewardship. You see how important that is, the implementation? So this gift can serve in so many ways, right? Already I can tell you, if I go here, even though his motivational gift is a giver, I've seen Josh at times, God spoke to him in a way where he's had knowledge or wisdom that made sense, you know? He's actually, he's prayed and God's revealed something to him, something prophecy-wise, right? And then I've seen him involved as a teacher. I've seen him involved in administration. I've seen him in helping. I've seen him do these ministries, even though he's a giver. So if you're seeing this in you, this isn't limiting. Do you understand? It's the beginning of understanding something that you have to offer and then asking God, how is it that you want me to implement that, okay? But I see that for the givers out there, or if you're wrestling with that understanding, on the front end, providing the resources and the energy, and on the back end, implementing, right, and bringing people together. They want to bring people together. There can be some crossover. Yeah, we're going to begin to see a little crossover there. Yeah, because the servant might be more people-faced, where the giver would be more value-faced. Does that make sense? They love the people, but it's the information, the fellowship, which is more. And the server wants to be, it's a very practical need, and so there can be some crossover. And if you're confused, at the end of the world, no. But once you begin to understand more about who you are and where you're starting, it's going to help you with where you're going. Okay? Next, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, on that, yeah, there's giver and there's servant as both motivational gifts. And this is just kind of how you see the world a little bit differently. And so your approach to doing the same thing, like serving, like in a ministry of servanthood, it just might be a little bit different take on it, on what needs to be done or how you go about doing it. But for example, I teach a Bible study. I'm not the teacher gift under motivational, but in ministry, that's one of the roles that God has me in right now is teaching. But the way I present information, the way I gather information, it might be a little bit different. A teacher is gonna be much more textbook. It's about the information, it's gotta be correct. And maybe my aspect of it will be more of the hearts that are gonna receive that. How is that going? Can I give them enough information to grow closer to God or grow closer in community? Same thing happens. Teaching happens in both ways, but it's just a different motivation.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that. So we'll go on to mercy. Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm a little bit like Josh with the giver thing, but when he's talking about the options, I know him well enough to know that once you see the options, and I'm the same way, then you
that's when the obvious option is usually not the right one to start with.
Right.
If it's the cheapest or if it's the fastest or whatever, the real obvious option as far as humans or society is usually not maybe what God wants you to do.
So yeah.
That's why I think it's better to, you know, weigh the options and then you pray about it. I know.
Yes.
Then you can really truly get the best thing that God's got for you. It may not be the best thing from the world's point of view, but it is.
Yeah, Jim, thank you for that. Let me try to reiterate what he says. It's really important. He said that he can see himself in this, and he knows Josh. And he says, when you see the options, the important thing is that you pray about it, and you go with the option that God reveals is the right one. And I think you're hitting on that fact. Because he's given you eyes to see this and to hear this and a passion for it, you will find, if you're not asking God, you'll find the decision that makes the most sense, but that might not be the decision God wants you to make, or the option God wants you to take. So doing this in the spirit is so important to be operating in a way that blesses the body, where if you do that in the flesh, you're only going to go with what you can reason and deduct is the best. Yeah, very, very true. Okay, mercy. So mercy, here's a couple versions that say a little bit different. King James, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. ESV says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And NASB says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So cheerfulness, you need cheerfulness, right? Okay, this is important. So let's talk about mercy. A couple aspects of that. So if you look at that, one thing, Jackie, that you can see is a proper alignment. They desire deep alignment with God and with relationships and all relationships. And they're really aware, right, because God's given you a sensitivity to this. You're aware when things are out of line and they're not in proper alignment. Yeah, what do you think about that? See if that might not
work. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I do sense that.
What's that like? You just feel that something's not right? Is that how it shows up?
Something's just not right, yeah. Okay. I don't know how to express it. But in my spirit, I just know that it's something's off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you feel like, wow, it's just so aligned right now. Everything's aligned.
What does that look like for you, though? What does that feel like?
Yeah, what does that look like? That's a great question.
Well, yeah, if you talk about if it's like a bad day or something like that, like if for me, lately I've been noticing if I get up early and actually have my devotion time, yeah, my day is a lot more sensible. I can see, understand things a little bit better, a lot better. When I don't have that time, I am truly off. I am truly, things don't kind of go together, things don't mesh. My temperament is off. Okay. Yeah, and then once I realize that, I'm quickly to go, okay, Lord, let's center up here. Let's get together and talk. And once I've done that, then I'm like, okay, I can see things better.
Okay. So if God's gifted you with mercy, here's the next question. So you're kind of talking to, the way I understand what you're saying is, if I'm not connecting and aligning with the Father like I need to, I see the fruit in me, in my demeanor. So how does that work corporately with people? Like if you feel like the group of people, there's disunity here, or we're not connecting with God. How have you reacted in a flesh way, and how have you reacted in a way led by the Spirit, and how are those different? Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're very different.
So first of all, like if you're acting in the flesh, what would you do?
I want to fix it.
You want to fix it?
Yeah, I want to fix it, try to take care of it, you know, kind of, you know.
Like make sure everyone's okay?
Yeah, what's just wrong? Everyone's everyone okay. Yeah, just really, yeah, right. Get into someone and say, okay, what's going on? What's going on? And try to fix the situation. But yet, in the spirit, I'll stand back and ask God to come in and intervene and ask him to change the atmosphere and really just be present and seeing him work instead of me work.
Mm. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you see that, right? It's a fascinating, it's a mystery why God in the scripture would ask man to pray for things to change, and he would change things based on man's prayer. You seen that? And I think why he does it, we can speculate, but he does this. And so I think it's such a powerful thing to see with that, those people who've been gifted the gift of mercy. They just know. You can kind of see them like, wow, you're sensing something's off. The Lord's showing you, whether it's in you or corporately, and how they can be called to pray and how prayer can really change things. Yeah. Yeah.
Was there like that sense of, you know what I mean? Like, that's not fair.
Right. So he's kind of asking, when she's younger, she's not an adult, she hasn't really looked at this or prayed about it. Well, how did that show up in her personally, that God was, he gave her these eyes and ears to see and hear? Was she running into when things weren't right and weren't aligned? It was like, that's not fair, or this is not right.
Doesn't count.
Because yeah.
I want to say with my childhood, I was very aware of the surroundings and things weren't right, but I didn't know how to fix them, and I couldn't. So, you know, I just, for whatever reason, I knew that I just needed to pray, but I didn't know why, if that makes sense.
That can be frustrating, I bet, right?
Well, yeah.
For someone who's... you know, maybe just sees that and feels that way and they don't know what to do with it, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, like, let me give you an example. We were at youth camp this last year, and it's safe to say that's the most powerful youth camp experience that I saw. And I think all the leaders would agree, and seeing the gifts at work. But when we really needed it, Jackie knew that she needed to pray and what to pray. And it wasn't like the thing she could teach or the game she could play with the kids, but it was her sensitivity to what was going on in them and her willingness to stop and pray and connect that came up with such a powerful way. She used that. And that's the whole point. I don't want you to just be self-aware and do nothing with that. But if you have this sensitivity, we need that in the body, right? If you have that awareness, those who are praying, right? Like Carol said, that's what we really need, people praying that God will show up and bless everyone who comes here through this Seder. A real prayer ministry. Another thing that you see is if you have that gift of mercy and you're aware, like she said, this awareness, that you yearn for a beauty and peace.
Yeah, I cherish it. I see the simplicity in things. I really embrace it. I don't know. It fascinates me.
Right.
Conversations, talking to people, nature. Oh my goodness. Sunsets. They wow me. Just the creation of what God does is. I don't know. Tractor beam. Yeah. Sucks me right in.
Yeah.
I think that goes with the next point.
Right. Savors life with the slow, intentional pace of life, processing and experiencing. All the people that have that mercy, they're like, I want to process. I'd rather not rush. I'd rather savor and process. They're aware of God and creation all around them. A lot of them will say, not everyone feels that way, I'm sure, but a lot of people will say, yeah, the nature stuff is important to me because I see God in it, which the scripture keeps bringing. Like, how can you say there's no God and then go outside and look at the mountains, right? The person who's God's gifted with that heart, there's a likelihood that they wouldn't appreciate and notice that thing, those things. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so what about the?
Is harmony important to you?
So is harmony important to you?
It'd be nice, but yeah. You know, it's. We'll probably touch on it later, but I know that a little. Little shaking is okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay if there's things are a little off because I know that there's something awesome at the end of it.
And I think that's a growth thing because, I think harmony would be important, right? Because then your certain things like exhorters and mercy would share that. They would want harmony among people, right? And so both of them would tend to try to please people because when it's not right, they'd be like, how can I fix it? How can I, let's get along. No, don't fight. Everything has to be right. And it would be the exhorter from the people place the mercy from, like, what I can only say is that the spiritual alignment of things are off, right? But both of us might attack harmony and peace in a very practical, people-pleasing way that can often be destructive, right? Is that fair to say?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jackie, what I hear you just saying, that you don't necessarily need it to be exactly aligned, and looking, going back up to the top, you might be aware that it's a little out of alignment, but you're okay with that because you see the end result.
Yes.
So he was saying that, repeating what she's saying, is just that she's aware that it's out of alignment, but she's found kind of peace and to be okay with that, knowing the end result is we're going to work towards. And you were saying that
yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. I understand that there might be something off. And that's just another reason why to go back to God and why, what's going on, speaking with him on that and finding out, okay, there's a reason for this. Right. And these struggles or whatever that I'm going through or someone else is going through, there's a reason, because there's something beautiful at the end. There's going to be something awesome that God's going to do to show them more of him. And how, that's just so awesome to see, yeah, that they're all in progress.
Yeah, then Kathy, what were you going to ask?
So how does that manifest, I mean, going to be very elementary, how does that manifest in your relationships with people?
Yeah, how does that manifest in your relationships with people?
Oh, just more caring. I don't know. I just see the people. I don't know how to put that into words right now.
Yeah. Let me, yeah, Brandy. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, because I think, you know, what Brandy is saying is the point is, too, part of the reason why I feel we need to have this conversation, as you become aware of that, of your tendencies, right, and then also aware of what God's calling you to do, it causes you to sort of pause from the natural reaction and ask him to lead. And so what she's saying is, because Jackie's been part of these conversations and praying about this and learning about it, now there is more peace in the midst of disorganization and chaos and misalignment. Where a lot of people, if you had this gift, but you hadn't walked in it very much, that sort of misalignment might throw you off and create complete chaos. Because we've seen that in people, you know? And like what Orion's saying in kids that we've noticed, you know? Like, whoa, that kid, it's like time to go. And they're just like, oh, making sure everything's... You start to see it young. They're just like, wow. And they're savoring life and they're going slow. And then when everything's out of alignment, it's not fair. Like, I mean, every kid does that to a point. But some of these kids, it's very much so, they're just like, the sky is falling because everything's out of a line and they don't know what to do with it, right? Is that fair? What you're
I
saying?
Think something with what you guys were saying was that's really important that I see in her is, yeah, she can sense when something's not quite in alignment, but if she sees growth or change happening towards alignment, she celebrates it and savors it. And it's not something that wears on her. It's something that uplifts her.
Yeah.
And so watching others come into alignment is a really important thing in her life.
Right. And that's probably that cheerfulness. If she exercises in cheerfulness, she's the biggest cheerleader when something's right, right? And we need you to be that. That's when it's most effective. It's most fun, right? The body, they need that. They need that compassion, but they need that passion too, right? So let me talk about a few blind spots because I want to keep moving forward. A few blind spots or things you might run into with mercy is you can be taken advantage of, right? Because you feel deeply for people. You have great compassion for them, and you want peace and harmony. And so in the people-pleasing, you can become taken advantage of. Or also along those same lines, you can avoid conflict to a fault, or you can enable people because you understand they're hurting, so you excuse it, right? And then I'll just mention this, and then you can comment about all three. And the other thing that you see is you can get stuck in pain or grief because you take time to process when you're mercy. And so when something really breaks your heart or something really grieves you, you can get stuck in it in some time.
Yeah. Avoiding conflict. Yeah. I kind of, you know, I dance around it a little bit, kind of like, okay, come on, you know, let's look at the positive side of this, and let's just try to make this work or something like that, instead of going for the heart of it and saying, okay, let's just get it out in the open and let's move on. No, let's just kind of, you know. So yeah, that is a kind of a challenging little part for me. But yet, I do take time to process things. The positive and the negative, I do take time. I need to sit in it. I need to really evaluate it, understand it, bring it to prayer, all that stuff. So that's,
Yeah, so you can see in that gift and in Josh's, if we're living in community with them, you might come to Jackie with something. And if you know her and you know she has this gift of mercy, that she'll feel for you and what you're doing, but also know she's going to take it and pray about it and process it over time. Some people, you could expect the answer right away because they process quick. And those of us that do that probably are going to give you the wrong answer. So it's better to go with the people who are like, no, but honestly, all joking aside, you kind of know that in relationship with them. Like, they're going to feel deeply. They're going to take time. Yeah, all right.
Do you, like, when somebody does that, do you take that on yourself?
Yeah. Do you take it on when someone shares burdens with you?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I feel their pain. I understand. And it takes time to process it and to realize, you know, okay, that's theirs, and help them.
So she'll definitely savor the top end as much as she savors the bottom end. Mm. And so that can be a painful
stuck.
Processing, but it kind of comes with both the highs and the lows.
Right. So a couple questions. So we talked about this a little bit, but maybe there's more you want to add. How have you observed God work in or through you utilizing your gift in the past? Is there something you want to add? I mean, we've hit on some instances for both of you guys, you know, in prayer ministry and youth ministry and the different things Josh has been involved in. I will share a quick story. So we had a group of people, and in this group of people, we were trying to make a decision. And I don't think I even shared this with you guys, but I was thinking about it this week and praying about it, about gifts. And we had a decision to make, and collectively people from different gifts with different motivational gifts were praying and taking this before the Lord. And what you had is, what I thought was interesting is you had all the gifts, right? Those people with more logistic-based gifts were thinking logistically, right? Those with leadership gifts are thinking like leaders. Those with mercy were feeling it a great deal. Those with prophecy were like, be careful of what, here's this truth, right? Everyone was sort of stuck in their gift a little bit. And I thought it was interesting because Josh was part of that group and he came out with something. And he came out with something, and it resounded like, wow, with all of us. Like the Lord really spoke to us, you know, right? And so it was like, wow, because so many times he shares with his gift, maybe, you know, okay, I'm not this and I'm not that. And there's certain things we glorify, right? Certain things we glorify in our culture, and you think because you're not those things that God isn't going to use you. But sometimes what you need is a giver. Who's sitting back, who's weighing the option, who thinks of value and stewardship and people and resources, and they're able to hear, because some of us are so driven by other things, right? This emotion or this logical thinking, or right? And so it was a perfect example. I would bring that out where we needed the person you wouldn't think you would have needed, right? Okay, yeah, everyone get on your knees and pray. Who's the first person to hear? The person with the giver gift? That's what happened, right? And this is why we need the body. It wasn't the prophet, it wasn't the exhorter who heard clearly. It was the person who was open enough to the options and not consumed by their emotion in it. Anything you guys want to add about? Because we kind of talked about these. Okay, what about this? What would you like? Now, let's do this. What is the biggest challenge for you in walking in your gift? What's the biggest challenge?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely community-minded, and so it's hard to see people that don't see a value in getting together in community. That's difficult. I mean, even between us, she wants to savor things, which means sometimes I need to savor my rest, and I just want to have some people over and have community going on, and so we'll have disagreements with that stuff, and so working around those, that's a big drive for me.
Yeah.
Seeing the options and being able to run with it when nobody else sees them that can be a challenge too, but you know, learning to deal with that.
Right. Yeah.
For me, it's going to be the, it takes a while to process, you know, that's, you know, the conversation or the question or something like that. So, I ponder on it and really figure that one out.
And people don't always understand that.
True. And then for me also, being able to put things into words, that's challenging, and it's a beautiful gift that God blessed me with, a husband that is able to give people the information, because sometimes I just can't get those words out, either in emotion or kind of nervousness, yeah. You know, but it's awesome.
Yeah. What about this? What would you like others to understand about your gift? Either one of you, something that people in community with you, what do you wish they understood about what walking in your gift is like for you? Or
I think in a lot of ways we're still learning
what
a lot of this means. So that's kind of a tough question because I don't recognize it all yet.
Yeah. And I think you kind of answered that a little bit. You said sometimes you see the value of this, you want to get together, share information, and be in community, and if other people don't see that, it's like, you don't understand that I'm relentless towards that because of the value I see in it, not because I'm upset with you, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, it's more of understanding that I really see the positive side in Christ working in the things that are difficult. Mm-hmm. I really see the glory that God is working in somebody and really aligning them to know him better. And I really embrace that.
Yeah.
I think an important part is what Brandy was saying, that you've learned to deal with that and you've learned to walk in that in maturity, whereas a lot of people that don't have that. These motivational gifts, they're great examples. We can look at them and they're wonderful, but you got to realize everybody has these, whether they devote mm-hmm. them to God or whether they devote them to the world. So somebody that's mercy, that's outside of God's will on this, could just be floundering, and that would be difficult for sure for people to understand. But the more that we walk with God, since he's 100% of all of these things, the more that we grow into a little bit of all of these things. Right. And if we're able to see, like she's clearly being able to see the beauty in all of these things and savor it through Christ's eyes, that's kind of the way it was designed. And as she's growing in that, that changes her perspective. And she's learning to understand that as much as anybody else.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we really learn from each other, and that's why there's a completeness in being together that we'll never get alone, you know. Yeah, thank you, guys. So the intention is, I'll wrap this up a little bit, we'll pray, but if this is something, you know, you want to talk more about, I mean, the conversation doesn't end. Like I said, this is a beginning. We'll go into two more gifts next week, but thank you, guys. Let's give them a hand. So that, I think it's interesting when you look at the scripture, you know, with mercy, what Paul is letting the church in Rome know is, if this is your gift, do this with cheerfulness. And so I think, you know, you share your excitement. And so sometimes, like she said, you might have tried to articulate information because you felt it so deeply from a mercy point. And I think it's fascinating that the scripture didn't say, share information on your mercy. It said, no, if you're having mercy, if you're connecting with people, you do that in cheerfulness, right? And with the giver, it wasn't like when you give or when you share or when you like provide to people this stuff, you don't do it in ignorance. You do it in, it said words like, you know, you lavishly put this on their different translations with, you know, and you give cheerfully and you give. And so there's a strong way to do it and a weak way to do it. We begin to do that with each other. We become complements, like any relationship. If you've been in marriage counseling, the difference is, although they create conflict, God's design is that they would become complements. In a lot of ways, when we enter into community together, we're invited into a complementary relationship. And so getting to know some of you, even though your primary motivation might not be mercy, there's probably something that breaks your heart. And that's God in you. That's this mercy showing up in you. And we can learn so much from our brothers and sisters who have these eyes to see and ears to hear that the Holy Spirit is leading them to have compassion and mercy. I mean, we need them to have compassion with us, but that we need them to lead us into compassion with others. And those brothers and sisters who have the giver, we need them on the front end to be generous with information and resources and time and passion. And on the back end, we really need them as a check and balance to our options, to our stewardship, to what we're doing with our time, money, and resources. We need all of you. And so I continue to pray that God will lead us on this journey, that this would be the beginning of a lot of conversations. Okay? So thanks for joining us. Thank you, Josh and Jackie. Let's pray. And I'll invite the worship team to come up while we're praying. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your redemption. Father, I thank you for your grace for sending Jesus, and through him, we can be reconciled to you. And I think this is the plus, God. I think this is the plus. You, my Lord, walked with men and women, and you learned them, and you had them work together, and they worked out their gifts, and they worked out their ministry, and they worked out sharing their lives and sharing the good news. And so we need to do that now in 2019, Lord. I pray that this would not be a waste of time, but that it would be used by you and multiplied in such a way that we would be awoken to how you've created us and put us together and the things you're calling us to do, that you might build up the body. And that's what this is all about, that these gifts would build up the church, build up the believers, build up the body of Christ, so that we could love you and love others as we love ourselves, and that we could take the gospel everywhere that we go, in words and in deeds. And I just pray this, Lord. May you be glorified. Be with us as we sing praises to your name, Lord. Amen.